Opinions expressed on this program are those of the host and do not reflect those of KVOR, Cumulus Media, or its advertisers.
I'm American made, but life serving lay. My mama taught me wrong from right. I was born in the South. Sometimes I have a big mouth when I see something that I don't like. I gotta say it.
I'm Michelle Morin here on AM 740 KVOR, here to tell you what big media won't. Tonight, Hurricane Irma is pounding down on the continental U.S., and this has been the largest hurricane ever recorded in the Atlantic. It looks like she was a 5. The big fear was she would be a 5 coming inland to Florida, but I'm looking at radar right now. Looks like she's down to maybe a 2. But we're going to talk to, we've got a special treat tonight. We're going to be talking to some Floridians, some folks who are actually down there near the eye. Someone's in Tampa. We've got someone near, I think it's Kissimmee. And we'll let you know when they show up. And I wanted to, don't want to forget what else is going on in our nation. I don't want to underplay or downplay anything. Irma is such a nightmare. I woke up at 5:30 this morning, and I you know, when you wake up in the night, everything's worse. And maybe it needs to be that way, because I was immediately compelled to pray. But I could see, you know, in my mind's eye, that picture of the hurricane bigger than the state of Florida. And I'm thinking of the people I've spoken with who are down there. And they're not the only ones there. And I know a gal that lives with me, her grandmother is in Tampa. Her mother is in West Palm Beach. Neither one could evacuate. And some people didn't evacuate because they just couldn't get that to that place where they could, for one reason or another. And I was thinking about these people. I was thinking about the hundreds and thousands more who are sitting in their homes. They're boarded up. Hopefully they've got supplies, water and food and some type of communications device, some backup power, something to keep them afloat. And last night, the governor made an announcement, and Governor Rick Scott has taken ownership of this and is not, he's done, to my perspective, he's done everything he can to get his people out of the danger zone and into safety. And he is so concerned about his people. Last night, when he said that we're looking at potentially 15 feet of storm surge, and he said, let's put this in reality, this will cover your home. I'm thinking about that and these people that I know of there, and it's overwhelming. It's overwhelming to think of the people I know who can't leave, and they're taking shelter in their homes. And really, I've been praying for these people all day. I've been praying for the state. I know many of you have too. This is overwhelming. And then Harvey, I don't want to forget Harvey. Harvey was a week ago, and Texans are still getting themselves out of that mess. Have you seen the images of the mosquitoes down there? Little stuff like that that you don't think of. You've got looters. You've got mosquitoes. Homes are gone. People are having to go gut their homes. Lives are lost. Well, I didn't want to forget about Montana. All the attention's on the hurricanes right now. But we have a western portion of our nation, from what I understand, is burning. I reached out and I found a contact in Montana, and I'm hoping she'll be able to call in tonight and give us an update on what in the world's happening to Montana. 1 million acres have burned, and they're not seeing any end in sight until snowfall. And big media is not telling any of us anything about it. If you've seen any of the memes of the northwestern quadrant of our country and the West, it's on fire. So I don't want to forget any of this. Let's let's spread the prayers, spread the concern, and I want to bring awareness to the folks whose states are on fire. Because as you know, you who lived here in Colorado Springs with me through the Waldo Canyon fire and the Black Forest fire, those were life-changing events. Homes were lost. Lives were lost. All these natural disasters, they all hit different ways. We as a nation have got to come together. I was thinking about, we've got the hurricanes, we've got the fires, we've got the looters, for crying out loud. Have you seen the videos of them? Those have been popping up on my newsfeed all day long. And it's not just one. They're everywhere. And those are just the ones getting caught on camera. So these people who are just trying to survive, of course, all their belongings are getting looted while they're gone, trying to keep their families safe. And don't forget, we've still got a communist dictator across the ocean who's talking about sending us gift bombs. And then there's Iran. And I read early tonight that Merkel, Germany's leader, President Merkel, she's going to go talk to them. And I'll look into that a little bit more. But the headlines seem to insinuate she wanted to work with them. But we'll touch base on that a little bit more. So all this is going on, and it goes without saying we need to be in prayer. I hope that this causes, as Jack said on my Facebook feed this morning, another great awakening. Things are going on, and someone's trying to get our attention. And what I love about America is, while the left is opportunizing all of this, and we'll talk about that, you and I are keeping an eye on the storm. We're keeping an eye on Montana. We're keeping an eye on people in need, fellow citizens who need our prayers and who need our support. And I can't take credit, but there are many people just going in right into harm's way. For Harvey, they took their boats down to Houston. For Irma, we'll see. People are driving down there and supplying food for evacuees. It's the exceptionalism of America is still here. Yet, the left is trying to cash in on this. We've got Hollywood elites saying that this hurricane is Trump's fault because Mother Nature is enraged about us voting for Trump. We've got experts talking about how, well, we really need to open up the climate change discussion. Translation, they really need to open up the discussion about how they can control you and me even more. But, oh, and we've got people attacking Michael Moore. Did you see his tweet? He tweeted and wanted to know if Trump had opened up Mar-a-Lago as a shelter yet. And when he tweeted it, Florida was being lashed by the 130-mile-per-hour winds right around Mar-a-Lago. So conscienceless people. And then when Irma finally did take aim at Mar-a-Lago, the evil hatred just comes spewing out on Twitter, just a couple of tweets. Someone, I don't even know who these people are, Allie Maynard, tweeted, "Imagine the poetic justice of a hurricane named Jose destroying Mar-a-Lago." There's a tweet by someone calling themselves God. "Dear humans, please find shelter. I don't want any of you innocent, wonderful people to get hurt. I only wanted to destroy Mar-a-Lago." So, you know, the left can just gripe, be nasty and evil all they want. But in the end, the goodness is going to prevail. And we're going to talk to real people in Florida right now who are enduring this. And what's on their mind? It is not how we need to address climate change. It's not about taking a vengeance against anybody. It's about surviving. It's about hoping and praying that the roof stays on their home, that people they love don't die, don't drown, that Florida can recover, that their careers and lifestyles can recover. We'll be talking to Elizabeth when we come back here on AM 740 KVOR, straight from Tampa, straight from where the storm is supposed to hit hard. right here on KVOR.
The things big media won't tell you with Michelle Marin on AM 740 KVOR.
Hurricane Irma now, Hurricane Harvey last week, wildfires in Montana, Oregon, Washington, Idaho. I'm not sure where else they're burning. I know Montana for sure. The communist dictator, Kim Jong-un, threatening to send us more gifts. You know, we've had here our own massive fires. We get regular blizzards. Crime rates continue to spread all over our own communities, right here in our backyards. Across the nation, we've got violent Antifa and Black Lives Matter riots. They seem to become a weekly event, unless there's a hurricane going on, because they can't get any attention then. We live in uncertain times for sure. It's not a matter of if, but when will the next emergency strike, and what kind? How do you prepare you and your loved ones? I want you to know about RockyMountainReadiness.com. The last time we had a major snowstorm, the grocery store lines were all the way to the back of the store, and the shelves were cleaned out of staples, much like is going on in Florida. Rocky Mountain Readiness offers emergency food so you can avoid the shortages during any natural disaster. During the Black Forest fires, looters hung out in my own deserted neighborhood. I was there. I went outside. There was a guy sitting at the end of my driveway scouting my home. Sure, I was armed, but what if he was armed as well? Body armor from Rocky Mountain Readiness would have given me added protection had things gone south in that scenario, much like folks might be facing in the aftermath of these hurricanes. From emergency food to body armor to water purifiers to outdoor equipment and so much more, Rocky Mountain Readiness offers practical, affordable quality for you and your loved ones in nearly any emergency situation. It's all basic stuff you'll need in emergencies, but you won't find it in the big box stores. Be ready to eat when food is short, drink when water is contaminated, and protect when crime gets too close. Discounts are for military, law enforcement, and first responders, and you, as a listener of my show, get 5% off all purchases for the month of September by using code KVOR at checkout. Go to RockyMountainReadiness.com tonight. And on the phone with us right now is our own Elizabeth from Colorado Springs. But Elizabeth is not in Colorado Springs right now. She's actually hunkered down in Tampa. Elizabeth, thank you for calling and joining us here on AM 740 KVOR.
Well, hi, Michelle. Thank you for having me tonight.
Well, thank you for taking the time out of being hunkered down and using battery power on your phone, that precious battery power, to call in. What in the world are you doing in Tampa? How did you end up there?
I have family out here, and we had a bit of a family emergency. So I came out Wednesday and intended to stay in West Palm Beach. My parents also arrived, and with such a threat of such a terrible storm heading right for where we were, we made the decision to come up to Tampa, where my other sister lives, at which point the storm took longer and came directly to where we fled to.
Oh, gosh. And did you have a choice to go somewhere else, Elizabeth?
Well, you could have kept driving, but by being in Tampa, I was able to help my sister get her home ready for the storm.
Okay. So I have so many questions for you, and I'm dying to ask this one. Have you seen the pictures of the water that got pulled out of Tampa Bay?
I have. Part of being prepared is paying attention to the news. And I have to say, we've probably paid a little too close attention because it can increase the anxiety of what's coming.
Yeah.
But it was truly amazing to see an empty bay. We are miles from the shore, so we don't have that risk of storm surge where we are.
Okay.
But it is raining cats and dogs, and the wind is about 100 miles an hour steady, which is very unusual. I'm used to gusty, but not just this steady pounding of wind.
Okay. So what is, you said it's pretty tense. How long have you been hunkered in? How long have you actually been in the house together and decided, you know, we're not going out now?
Well, let's see. Today's Sunday, right?
Yes, Sunday night.
Sunday night. We arrived here Friday morning. Friday morning.
Okay.
And spent the time getting the generator running, moving furniture, making ice, and boarding up some windows. It was a very labor-intensive endeavor, just because it's just work. You know, there's a lot to do. We made lists, we assigned tasks, and we worked together the best that we could.
Now, did you find that you were having a hard time getting supplies to board up the windows or getting survival supplies like water or food or hygiene products?
Well, traveling from West Palm Beach to Tampa, we left the house with 150 miles to go in the gas tank for a 250-mile trip. And so we left on faith saying, we will find a gas station. And we did. We found a two-pump, cash only. They'd only sell us $25 worth of fuel, but it was enough to get us here.
Oh, wow.
Once we got to Tampa, the storm was far enough out, and we were far enough north that there was plenty of gasoline. But that doesn't do you any good to have gas in Tampa when you're in the middle of the state, 100 miles away.
Oh, gosh. So the gas stations had been rationing the fuel just to try to keep it evened out?
The gas stations rationed fuel, and they also just were out. We passed gas station after gas station where there was nobody there, no lines. It meant they were out, or there was a plastic bag on the pump, and you just kept driving. People were waiting an hour for gasoline, and
they weren't allowing you
to fill additional tanks either, just your car.
Did you see people stranded with empty gas tanks? That's what I kept thinking of when I saw the traffic.
Many people were stranded, but we left early enough that it wasn't a factor for us. Because we headed west, we avoided a lot of the problems. People who went right up the eastern coast were stuck in bumper-to-bumper traffic. And it's another situation. You can't get off the freeway. You could run out of gas sitting there idling, going 10 miles an hour. You need to stop and eat. You need to go to the restroom. And it was a big challenge for these people traveling under those circumstances.
And then you were able to find adequate supplies. And now, do you have any power supplies or anything? And has power gone out?
Well, where we are, I'm waiting for the power to go out. It could happen any moment. We've had it flat flicker on and off all evening, but we did get through a movie.
Oh, good. That's good.
Yeah, that was good news. We do have a generator, and that is ready to go. The extension cords are laid out throughout the house to the refrigerator, so we can switch to the generator power if we need to.
Okay.
So we're ready. We're sleeping tonight because of the tornado warnings, in addition to 100-mile-an-hour winds in one section of the home that is boarded up and protected.
Oh, gosh. 100-mile-an-hour
winds. That's a little different.
I would have expected to hear some background noise, so you must have a pretty well-insulated room that you're in.
Yeah, and it's pounding the window, but my sister's home is sturdy. It's
okay.
A cinder block home. It's a whole different kind of construction in Florida versus what you might find in Colorado.
Okay. So is this one that's designed to withstand the
it
hurricanes?
It is. And we're going to find out if the screened-in porch is also designed to withstand.
Okay. Oh.
We'll know by morning.
Goodness. Oh, wow. So what can we here in Colorado do to help these folks in Florida, to help you and to help your family after you leave? What I hear there's water, you know, water's out, gas is out. I know that's going to change once the storm has passed, but what do you foresee folks needing from us back here in Colorado? What can we do?
Well, I think the first thing we need is prayer, because prayer brings us calmer minds and more insight into the problems we're facing immediately and in the future.
Yeah.
We have to be able to think clearly through these stressful, stressful situations. And it's a real important priority. I know I saw being in one home with my family locked up for 4 days, 5 days. It was very stressful. And without taking time to think, people could get hurt, mistakes could be made.
Yeah.
It becomes a much more serious situation.
Okay.
We will have the water we need. We will have the building supplies. As we were driving north, we saw power trucks driving south. So they've already staged the electrical people ready to go.
Got it.
There will be people along the shore that are going to be subject to this massive surge of water that will wash their homes out. The Florida Keys, down in Naples and southern western Florida, got hammered with water. And we're still looking at that. They're just now, as the storm heads north, going to start to be able to assess the damage down here. It's taking time. The storm is moving slowly, but it is weakening, and that's the blessing for us and people north of us.
That is. Well, we're going to go to a break here. Can we keep you over for a little bit of the next segment, Elizabeth, or do you need to go?
No, that would be great. I'd be happy to stay.
Okay. We will talk with Elizabeth when we come back. We're also going to be talking with Tim and Arlene from Montana a little bit later in the show. And Anil Mathai is going to join us from Adams County GOP, as usual, when we come back here on the Michelle Morin Show on AM 740 KVOR.
These are the things big media won't tell you.
Trying to make up his own facts, and that is our job.
Yeah, the Michelle Morin Show.
And I'm back here on AM 740 KVOR. We're talking about Irma. We're talking about Harvey. We're talking about Montana, because Montana's burning away and nobody knows about it. We're talking about, did you know there was an earthquake off the coast of Mexico? 8.1 on the Richter scale, and it brought a 2.5 or 3.5 foot tsunami. Things are happening, folks. And then North Korea, that commie is just delighting in, you know, sending us more gift packages. So things are going on, and we're talking to some folks in Florida right now who are hunkered down, who could not evacuate for various reasons. And we've got on the line Elizabeth. Elizabeth is actually from Colorado. She went down for family matters and ended up getting stuck in this hurricane. And Elizabeth joins us. She was with us on the last segment. I'm bringing her back into this one. Elizabeth, thank you for joining us again. I know you've had a long day, and you mentioned you were really tired. I'm sure you're completely exhausted. And when you were talking about how you're in tight quarters with family, that whole four walls syndrome can just eat away at you in any situation. So my prayers go out to you. You had mentioned that you do a lot of praying and how important prayer is. And you said it kind of brings, I don't remember your exact words, but what I heard was it kind of brings what's important into focus. And I'm curious, what was brought into focus for you, if you don't mind sharing? Because I'm not there, but I get very emotionally involved when these things happen, and I feel like I'm there sometimes, and I start thinking about what I think's important. I'm just curious, you know, what you're thinking.
Well, when you walk around the home, thank you for asking.
Sure.
But when you walk around the home, you think, well, this is the art, and this is the furniture, and this is the photograph. But you prioritize your family. You say, we'll get to the stuff last. We'll worry about the automobiles last. Let's worry about making a safe room. Let's worry about food and water. Let's make sure we can contact everybody. We have everybody's phone numbers written down. And we also see the community checking in on each other with Facebook messages for the neighborhood that we're in. Who needs help? Who's offering help? who has power, who has air conditioning, who has generators, so that we take care of each other. And it's very different from living in an area where there's a homeowners association that's concerned that you didn't get the sidewalk clean. I mean, these are neighbors actually caring about each other, not just the stuff of life.
Oh, wow. That is nice to hear.
It is nice. It is nice to hear. There's a story down here where people had ordered generators for overnight delivery from Federal Express, and they had stopped delivery. But the drivers took it upon themselves to go through the packages, look for generators, and they drove them to the people in their own vehicles.
Oh,
they made sure these customers got their generators that they had, you know, paid extreme amounts to get overnight, instead of just letting them sit there.
Oh, gosh.
People are going above and beyond, and it can bring out the best in people. Mr. Rogers says, look for the helpers. You know, he said, look for the people helping, not just the looters, not just the flood, not just the destruction, but look at all the first responders out there, all the neighbors helping neighbors.
That's neat. There's a,
yeah.
I don't know if you saw this. There was a story on Breitbart about two shoppers at Home Depot, and the person in the front part of the line had the last generator that Home Depot had available.
Yeah.
And the gal behind him, I guess, broke down in tears and said her dad needed a generator for medical equipment and survival, basically. And the guy in front of her said, you know what? You can have it. So what you're saying is, you know, it's not isolated. It's this is going to either bring out the worst in people or the best. And we're seeing more of the best.
Well, and we have to focus on looking for the best.
Yeah.
And while we focus on looking for the best, we prepare for the worst. It is so important that people talk about emergencies with their families before this happens. Well, it costs so little to put a case of water in your house,
Governor,
to have a battery.
Governor Rick Scott, I guess a reporter asked him about his mansion. I guess he's got a pretty sizable mansion on a beach somewhere that is probably going to take a serious hit.
Uh-huh.
And Rick Scott, from the report I saw, he said, all that matters is my family. The house can be replaced. And I just, you know, that is common sense, and that's exactly how you feel in the middle of it. But that's pretty good leadership, just to come out and, you know, so what?
Well, I think he's been doing a very good job under a very stressful situation.
Yeah.
He's in charge, and he's taken responsibility for the people.
Yeah.
Of Florida.
Yeah.
And I think we want to be good citizens. We take responsibility for ourselves.
Yeah.
And plan ahead.
But
when you need help, you need help. My goal is to not need the help and maybe have extra. Maybe I can help a neighbor. We have the water. We have some food. Come share a meal. And it's good. It's good for our communities to come together like this.
See, I was telling my kids, as horrible as it is, we always look for, you know, there's always something good that can come out of it. And my prayer is that this nation, this very divided nation, will do just what you're seeing happen. You know, it's so much. I think this hurricane is one of many wake-up calls, and we're being urged to turn to our Maker. And I think that my hope is that this is what will happen. We will, the goodness and the truth will overpower the nastiness. And yeah, we're going to have the looters, and the left is hating all this because it's in the way of their narrative. Antifa can't have a riot, and Black Lives Matter can't have a riot when the hurricane's going on, because they just won't get any attention. So it's very interruptive to their agenda. So I'm very hopeful that I hope it goes well for you and your family, Elizabeth.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you for calling.
I think we'll be fine.
Okay. Where is the storm in relationship to you? When is it going to get to you? Do you know?
Within the next hour.
Okay.
We are right in the middle of it now. In the next 3 hours, is the what we've been waiting for days is what's happening right now.
Oh,
the
gosh.
Highest winds and the highest rain. And
well, call us back if we're still on the air and you have anything else you want to share. And I thank you so much for joining us and taking time out. And I really hope that things can kind of lighten up and you guys can kind of, you know, get through this with ease. So all the best to you, and we'll see you when you get back to Colorado. And you take good care.
Thank you so much, Michelle. You have a pleasant evening.
Thanks, Elizabeth. You too.
Bye-bye.
All right, so that was Elizabeth. That was a very encouraging call, if you ask me. That was neat to hear what she's going through, what she's seeing the neighbors go through. This is what we do. This is what we do in America. We help each other, and we're blessed with the resources to be able to do it. I understand there are shortages. There's fuel shortages and water shortages, but we're the type of people that help each other out. If we don't need the generator, the last generator at the Home Depot, and the person behind us has a family member who needs it to survive, we give it up to that person. It's a beautiful situation. So out of this, great things can come out of this. I heard that there, just in case you're listening and you're in Florida, there is a hashtag. It's Irma SOS, and it is an emergency hashtag. If you need help from Irma, need rescuing from Irma, even if your dogs are stuck, if you need help at all, you can call 911, or you can tweet your street address and use Irma SOS. So if you're down there and you need help, this is what you can do to get maybe get a little bit help a little bit sooner if phone lines are down or something like that. All right, when we come back, we're going to be talking to Arlene from Montana, and we're going to be talking to Tim from Florida and hear more about what's going on in the eye of the storm, so to speak, in the eye of the many storms across this country. And so much more. Got some commentary. We're going to be talking with Anil Methai and on. We will be right back.
The things big media won't tell you with Michelle Marin on AM 740 KVOR.
And we are back. We are talking about hurricanes. We're talking about wildfires. We're talking about all these disasters that are just attacking this most exceptional nation of ours. We spent some time with Elizabeth. She's in Tampa, hunkered down, waiting for Irma to arrive. And now we've got on the line a special guest from the state of Montana. We've got Arlene. And Arlene, thank you for calling us here on AM 740. And I saw you on a post after last week's show. And how are you doing, by the way?
Oh, we're doing okay. We're hanging in there. The air cleared a little bit today in our area. Most of Montana has been under dense smoke, so all of us speak with a very hoarse voice because the air quality in Montana has been pretty disastrous over the last few weeks.
Well, I want to give the listeners, my listeners, a little bit of background on how I found you. We were doing our show last week talking about, of course, Harvey was the talk of of that day. And no sooner did I end my live on-air show that someone posted your Facebook post asking for prayer for Montana, and you went into great detail about how millions of acres are burning and nobody knows about it. And I thought, how can I not bring Montana into this? We here in Colorado Springs, we've lived through two horrific wildfires, and it's near and dear to our hearts here. It's near and dear to my heart. I did not lose my home, but I know people who did. And I saw your post, and you're talking about ranchers losing grazing land and livestock and millions of acres. Talk to me and tell us what is going on in Montana. How long has this been going on?
We've been fighting wildfires for almost two solid months. Montana is going through a record drought. We had good moisture last year, so we got a lot of growth of grazing and hay ground from last year, and then it quit raining early this spring, and we have gotten, you know, almost no moisture at all. So the entire state has been battling wildfires, not just in certain portions in our forests, but we've had catastrophic damage to farming and grazing land as well. To put it in perspective a little bit, we've got over 1 million acres in Montana that have burnt. So for people in Colorado, if you think of an area over 1,600 square miles or 10 times the size of the city of Denver, that's the acreage we've already lost in Montana. And I find it interesting. We watched with great intensity when you were going through insane wildfires last year with lots of prayers and interest, and there was just no national coverage of Montana's fires. And we have a small population. It's under 1 million for the whole state, but I guess I was impassioned to say, please pray for us because we feel we're being ignored.
Well, and I know what it's like to live with these fires. I don't know how close the fire is to actually where you live, but it doesn't really matter where you live. If you have ranch land, the wind blows, and you might be fine for a week, and then everything changes and everything just burns. And I know how stressful it is, and our fires lasted, what, a week, 2 weeks maybe? And here you're talking 2 months. And I'm so sorry that you're not getting coverage. I honestly, I've been looking for it and can't find it, so you are it.
Yeah, I don't really know why we've been ignored other than people are, you know, got their heads down fighting for surviving in areas, in different places. We had a fire with many of my friends and neighbors to the south of us. It was called the East Fork Fire, and it is still active. And if it wasn't for many farmers and ranchers responding to help put it out, the resources are tapped for our state.
Yeah.
The state fund is completely out of resources to fight this. We did get some good news today that FEMA is funding three of the wildfires that are helping with some assets and some firefighting funds for three fires in Montana, but we had over 40 that are burning right now, and several that just started up yesterday with lightning fires. So,
wow, you just can't get out of it. Well, what can we do? What can we do from here in Colorado? I can continue to bring awareness to it. I can keep in touch with you, Arlene, if you want to join the show and touch base. I am more than honored to be able to try to bring some awareness to you guys, for at a minimum to bring prayer for you guys.
Yeah, first and foremost, that's what I asked for, is prayer. And it looks like maybe we might get a weather system that moves through midweek and to give us some rain and snow. And normally Montanans aren't ready completely for winter. Pretty much everybody says let it snow a foot next week. That would be great, because I think that's the only reprieve we're going to get some of these systems out. We lost our beautiful Sperry Chalet up in Glacier Park. Lake McDonald Lodge is in danger. And for many businesses who rely on, you know, tourist travel, they've had to just completely shut down because the air quality has been so poor. And many of my friends lost so much of their grazing, so many of their pairs, you know, of livestock that they've worked so hard to build herds with, and much of their hay. So we're trying to bring awareness, and there is some fire relief funds. If you look online, you can see that there's some places to donate to, and if people feel so inclined, that would be a great thing to do. We appreciate any help, and we always appreciate prayers.
You sent me an image of the North Central Montana Stock Growers Association. Would you like me to repost that? Would that be helpful?
I would love you to repost that.
Okay.
That would affect so many people. We probably aren't going to be a big enough fire. It's at 23,000 acres, and it won't get FEMA funded. So we will have to rely on the help of friends and neighbors to try to recover miles and miles of fencing and hay ground and many people lost all their haystacks and like I said, some livestock, and let alone the wonderful wildlife that's, you know, been lost in this. We have the largest state or county park in the nation, and the fire got on to that and burnt up a lot of our beautiful park as well, too. So our county has suffered greatly.
I am so sorry. Glacier, how you said that one of the lodges had burned in Glacier National Park?
Well, I think probably many of your listening audience will understand the Sperry Chalets. You have to hike into it, but it is a beautiful national treasure that's been there for I don't know how many years. I mean, I know I think it's over 80 years, and that burnt down last week, and that fire is completely not contained at all. And Lake McDonald Lodge and Waterton Lodge, is as you go into Alberta, of course, is in danger as well too, and that fire hasn't gotten any funds at all, and don't see any way to get that contained without the good Lord sending us some rain and snow.
Oh, Arlene, I went to Montana and I went to Glacier 19 years ago, and I've been there. It's absolutely beautiful, and I'm just so sorry. The livestock, the ranch land, the beauty, the lodge. We will keep you in our prayers. I will post this information about the Stock Growers Association, and let's keep in touch, Arlene. I want my listeners to know what's going on up there.
Thank you so much.
Keep you focused. Yeah, you're very welcome. It's not just about hurricanes, is it? It's everything.
Yeah.
We're really getting
hit.
No,
and we're praying for those people, too. I mean, there's been some catastrophic things all across our great nation, and we keep all those people in our prayers, too.
Yeah.
One thing about this fund, there is absolutely no blue sky in it. It goes directly for fences, hay, everything goes to producers. So it's a fund that I'm very proud of that is set up, and there's no blue sky in it. So it's important.
I'm going to just give some information about it right now. If anyone wants to help, it's called the North Central Montana Stock Growers Association. It is... you can call with a credit card at 406-442-3420 and ask for Lori. The number again is 406-442-3420. Ask for Lori. If you didn't get the information, if you're driving or if you couldn't write that down, check my Facebook page when you pull over or when you get back home. I'm at Facebook. Look for me, Mom for Freedom. That's Mom the number for Freedom. I will post this on that page, and you'll be able to find the information. And Arlene, prayers for you, and we'll be in touch. And I'm just going to do what I can to help you.
Oh, thank you so much. We appreciate everything you do.
You're so welcome. I just hang in there. Keep praying.
Okay, we will.
Take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right. Golly. This doesn't end, does it? We'll be back. We're going to talk more about Irma. We're going to talk to Tim, who is battling Irma right now. We're going to have a lot more to talk about and so much more on The Michelle Morin Show. We'll be back.
You're listening to Michelle Morin on AM 740 KVOR.
All right. I'm here to tell you what big media won't, and we are definitely covering those bases tonight and having a smashing time doing it, no pun intended, as we learn about the good that's coming out of these tragedies. We talked to Elizabeth down in Tampa, and she shared how heartwarming it is, in spite of all the tragedy, to see neighbor helping neighbor. And I this nation needs this kind of love so badly. And it needs to prevail and keep going. We talked to Arlene from Montana. Heartbreaking, because nobody seems to know that Montana's just burning up. And a million acres, that's a lot. She said that's about the size of the city of Denver times 10, I think. I don't know if she said the city or the county. It doesn't matter to me. A million acres is a lot of acreage. And I have this, I'm going to deviate here a little bit. The eclipse. I'm going to go back to the eclipse. And I'm going to go out on a limb here. The eclipse. I'm sure you experienced it in some way. Maybe you had the glasses. Maybe you made the box. My wonderful daughter made me one of the little boxes because I didn't get to the store in time to get any glasses. I know some people who bravely looked at it. I hope they can still see. I would not do that, and I would never recommend anyone do that. But that eclipse was interesting to me, and I keep thinking about it. I think about, you know, I'm not gonna get all theological here. I'm gonna tell you what, just how I kind of am translating what that eclipse might have meant. You know, God put the constellations in the skies as signs. Doesn't mean that I know how to read them. Doesn't mean that I'm any expert, but it does mean that I can look at that and kind of make some deductions. And when I saw the, and I didn't look at the eclipse itself, when I saw pictures of it, and you get this moon coming across the sun, the only source of light and energy that we have, and that moon came across that and momentarily blocked the light. And in some parts of the country, it was completely dark. Temperature went down, crickets started chirping, animals went nuts. There was something being said. Don't know what it was, but I'm guessing. It's my own experience chiming in here. I think that we were being shown, just quite literally, that darkness is going to come over the land for a while, right over our land. And I didn't, you know, I'm not going to go around saying that because I'm not a prophet. I don't claim to be. But that's how I interpreted it. Very simple to look at that and say, what would that mean? And here we have the Harvey. We've got Irma. We've got the fires. And we've got a dictator just frothing at the mouth to bomb us. And he has the ability to, it, by all appearances. And I feel like I know for sure, I look back at the elections, and, you know, we all pretty much knew in our minds Hillary would win, but she didn't. Trump won. And everyone I talk to, I say, that was God's grace. That was God's grace. And I shudder to think where would we be right now? What would we be talking about? What would things look like if Hillary was in office? I can't even really go there. It's such a dark picture. And now we've got these hurricanes and the wildfires and the threats of war. Things aren't going well. But I still see patience and mercy being poured over us. Case in point, at this point, Irma did not strike land as a five. That was the big fear. That's what kind of woke me up this morning, just thinking, good golly, if these people are in their homes and Irma strikes at a five, what are we looking at? Irma is not striking at a five. She's a cat two right now. I know that can change, but that's a far cry from a five. Harvey showed how wonderful Americans are and Texans are, and how we're coming to each other's aid. But I guess what I'm trying to say is I hope that we as Americans can collectively and individually look at these tragedies and these threats and rise above what the left is trying to do. Like I said, these incidents are a huge interruption to their narrative. Outside of the fact that they're trying to use it as a way to control us via the, we need to be talking about climate change and global warming and how that could have prevented all this if we had been doing the right things. Outside of that, they can't really say much because goodness is rising to the occasion and good people are rising to the occasion. And as you heard Elizabeth and Arlene, Americans are, we're on our knees in prayer and we realize what needs to be done here. So that's just all I wanted to share. There's nothing theologically deep about it. I just know that in my heart, I want this nation to return to our constitutional republic. And we didn't get this way. This nation wasn't birthed because we were virtue-less people. It wasn't birthed because a bunch of atheists got together and figured out how to make the most exceptional, freest nation on the planet in history. It was because God-fearing people were convicted about the tyranny that was chasing them and the tyranny that they were putting upon other people via the slavery, and created the Bill of Rights, the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, and gave us what we have. And I don't want to lose what we've had. I'm willing to do what it takes, and I'm not going to let the left prevail. I'm simply not. That's why I have this show. And as horrible as Harvey and Irma and the wildfires are, and as the fat dictator across the ocean is, we can prevail when we turn to our maker, collectively and individually. That's all I'm going to say about that. I'm not going to hover on that too long. So, anyway, do we have Tim yet? Okay, we're waiting for Tim in Florida. I hope Tim's okay. I talked to Tim yesterday, and Tim is a former Marine, and he's been posting on Facebook how he's been preparing for Irma. It's very interesting. Marines and all these military guys have so much more insight on survival than I ever will have. He had parked his SUV sideways in front of his two-car garage, lengthwise, not facing it, but lengthwise. And the reason he did that is because it helps block the winds from taking out his garage door, and it keeps the wind from getting on both sides of his SUV and picking up and turning it over. And it looks like he has maybe a small car, and he's got it parked on the other side of the house, up close to the house. So all these little strategic things people are doing to prevent their cars from being picked up by the wind and carried off, to prevent the doors and windows from crashing in. And last time I talked to Tim, he said tornado warnings were going off everywhere. So I really do hope he's okay. We're trying to get in touch with him now. That's the problem with trying to get in touch with people who are in the eye of the storm, so to speak. I don't know if Tim is or not. So we're going to keep trying to reach out to Tim. We've got Anil Mathai coming back on the show tonight. We're going to keep you posted on the Colorado State GOP. Are they or are they not going to opt out of Prop 108? We're going to find out, and it may take you and me and a few others to hopefully influence and pressure them to do the right thing. Otherwise, they are throwing you and me under the bus. More, all that and more when we come back.
The things big media won't tell you.
He's trying to undermine the media, trying to make up his own facts so that he can actually control exactly what people think. And that is our job.
Yeah. With Michelle Marin on AM 740 KVOR.
All right. So I gave you my interpretation of the eclipse and kind of what's going on. I don't think many of you would disagree with me. But if you do, give me a call. We're at 719-540-0740, and you could agree with me, too. This is the kind of stuff that fascinates me. And like I said, I am not going to pretend to be a prophet. I just know what I know, and I try really hard to follow my conscience and follow what I know. And that eclipse just was, to me, it was clear as day that things are going to start happening to get our attention, to turn to God. And I think he's being very patient, very, very patient with us. We look around. I look around at we're just a godless nation, generally speaking. There are so many exceptions to that. I'm not saying we are all like that. But Jason was listening to me talk about that, and he wanted to chime in, but he didn't want to disrupt the mood and
the tone. Well, just all the stories about how the eclipse was racist because it was only going through the parts where only white people are, with a small percentage of minorities.
Yep. I'm a racist for saying that.
You must be a racist. Only white people enjoyed the eclipse.
Yeah.
And it was, because Mother Nature is racist.
That's right.
It must be, because if the eclipse is only
No, 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 no. Mother Nature's not racist.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. She's bringing her wrath against us for voting for Trump.
Yes. In fact, do you have that clip ready?
I do have that clip.
Since we're talking about what's causing all this, let's go hear from the experts in Hollywood. Jennifer Lawrence, the star of The Hunger Games. Now, I love The Hunger Games series. I can't stand it when these actors go off the deep end and start becoming political experts. But Jennifer Lawrence was interviewed, and I will just let her speak for herself. She doesn't really come out and say that Mother Nature is angry at us for electing Trump, but she pretty much gets there. So let's hear her talk about it.
It's also scary to know it's been proven through science that human activity, that climate change is due to human activity.
Nope,
and we continue to ignore it. And the only voice that we really have is through voting. So
and you have voted.
And we voted. And it was really startling. You know, you're watching these hurricanes now, and it's hard, especially while promoting this movie, not to feel Mother Nature's rage, wrath.
Mother Nature's rage and wrath, because our voice was heard through our votes, and we voted for Trump. Jennifer Lawrence, she's telling you and me, she's an expert, because it's clear science says that global warming is man-made. Gosh, I'm overwhelmed with her expertise. We've got actually another audio clip I'll share with you in a minute. Jason's actually inundated with the phones right now, so we'll get that in a minute. But the rush to turn this into a power grab by the left is just absolutely infuriating. Here, you and I, we're watching this with intensity, hoping people are okay. We're praying. The people in the hurricane are praying. The people in the wildfires are praying. And you're going to dare say that that's because they voted for Trump? Come say that to their face, Jennifer. Really? The left, I can't get rid of their narratives soon enough. Notice I say their narratives. They would say get rid of me, but, you know, it's just a difference between right and left. But anyway, so we've got Tim on the line. Finally, Jason's going to take care of that. We've got a new connection we're working on here, so bear with me if we don't get it right the first time. Tim is in Florida, and he's connecting with us via an app that he wanted us to use in case the phone lines were down. So that's what we're using for this connection. Tim, are you there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Thanks for calling. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Oh, thanks for the invite.
All right, Tim. I'm going to tell the audience that you're a former Marine. And
yes, I am.
I told them a little bit about how you had put your SUV in front of your two-car garage and you put your car off to the side, how you shared all these pictures and were explaining how it all works. It's fascinating how you prepared for this. And I didn't tell my audience, you've been posting videos every hour, just kind of the progression of the storm. Where exactly are you and where's the storm in relationship to you right now? Do you know?
Oh, it's fun. Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that. I'm looking at a website called windy.com. And they just recently added a new layering effect to it, whereby previously the predictions were showing the West Coast for the storm.
Yeah.
Now the radar itself is showing it pretty much coming straight toward me, right up the state, except it's breaking up. So that's very interesting. I'm just below Kissimmee in Poinciana. And the only bad news is it's that northeast quadrant that's probably going to hit me before it peters out.
Okay, I'm looking for Kissimmee on the map here. Okay, so you're a little bit south of Orlando. So you're almost smack dab in the middle of Florida, a little off to the east. And you're saying
just a little bit.
The storm, are you saying it's actually now instead of going up the west coast, it's kind of starting to go east?
It's almost shooting straight up the state, according to the radar map I'm looking at.
Okay. And that means that you're in trouble in the next hour. Is that what you said?
That's what I said. However, it looks like it's also dropped to Category 1. So the big question is, if it's not wind that's really going to hit me hard, there's an awful lot of water that's missing in other parts of the state of Florida that could get dropped on me.
Oh,
we'll see what happens. I think I might possibly dodge the bullet, but boy, talk about playing with fate.
Well, I'm impressed that you stayed. It looks like you're more than willing to be prepared. Being a former Marine, like, who cares? You've done this before and worse, right?
Yeah, and there's no such thing as a former Marine.
Oh, I did see you say that. My mistake. You know, and I should have known that just in my gut, right? Sorry about that. You're a Marine, man. You're a Marine.
That's right, always.
Yes, your epitaph will be Marine.
That's right.
Tell me, because I think we talked about this on Facebook, the water disappearing. Have you seen this before? Water is pulling out of the Tampa Bay. It's pulling away from the Bahamas. It's like, okay, when I first saw it, I thought, well, did it get sucked up into the hurricane? And if it did, that's a big stinking hurricane. Right.
Right. It's just a combination of so many different factors, you know, the wind speed and the temperature of the water and the air pressure and humidity index. And it just all gets sucked up with a storm like this. Both the leading edge and the trailing edge have been sucking up the water. So it's like a huge vacuum. And that just kept building and building with that low pressure zone. But now there was a CNN video I just saw recently that said the pressure is going up a lot right in the center now, and that's what's helping it break apart. So
is breaking
even though
apart
you've got
a
these
good
bands,
thing?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
I mean, it's going to drop a lot of water.
Okay.
But it's better that those winds start to drop by that core breaking up.
Okay. But it's still not good for you because you're going to
– No.
Okay.
A little too. And I really hear it outside the window now too. So
okay.
It's quite a storm going on at this point. But if it was Cat 2 or Cat 3 or Cat 4, I would have been in much more trouble by now. So I've been lucky in that respect. I'm counting my blessings.
I am so glad to hear that.
Thank you.
A couple more minutes. Can you stay over the break and come back for the next segment?
I'd love to.
Okay. Well, we don't have to leave just yet. I wanted to make sure before I started opening up conversation. I want to know what you've seen in what are your observations as you've prepared for this? I know you were one of the first persons I saw who posted about gasoline being unavailable a couple days ago.
Sure.
Tell me your thoughts about that. Tell me what you've seen. What's your experience been with this? And obviously, this is not a big deal for you, but the rest of us who've never been through a hurricane have no idea.
I think the biggest thing that occurred, I've been in about 8 of these storms in my life, from my time in the Marine Corps out in Okinawa for the typhoons that were out there, and other storms that have been, you know, either on the East Coast or Florida. I was here during Charlie and all that. So I think what happens and what happened with a lot of Floridians until our governor came on and really laid it out for everyone, there's kind of an innate complacency.
Okay.
Some people will get very worried immediately. Like Tuesday was the day that I saw the gas lines really start getting crazy. And Wednesday and Thursday, there were gas outages. But when the governor to the state came on and just laid it out so emphatically, and he was fantastic, stating that, you know, you can replace all your stuff. Your stuff is nothing. You can't replace family, whether it's two-footed or four-footed. You cannot replace that. You got to get out. This is a bad storm. I think the one thing the news did that was well was showing the respective size difference between Andrew and this one, because anyone who survived Andrew would be probably the most complacent. But when they saw that, there's been a huge exodus. And I think that was good. That was phenomenal. So that's what I saw. I saw, for once, government officials actually coming forward and saying, guys, you know, we don't care what happens. We're going to put your lives first in importance to get you out of state in any way that we can help.
That's cool. I am so glad to hear that. You know, the governor was impressive to me, but I'm not there. I'm not there,
right.
And I'm not the one being motivated by what he's saying. But he seems to have taken ownership of this early and responsibly and very seriously, and he's not messing around.
Indeed.
Okay. That music means we're going to take a break. We will come back with Tim. Tim is in Kissimmee, Florida, and the storm is about to pummel him in about an hour. So we're going to hear more about how he prepared. We're going to hear more from Tim about what he's seen in Florida. We're also going to talk to Anil Mathai from the Colorado Adams County GOP about Prop 108 when we come back here on AM 740 KVOR.
These are the things big media won't tell you with Michelle Marin on AM 740 KVOR.
And tonight's show is chock full of what media, big media, will not tell you, and we are getting through it all. Interestingly enough, we've been talking about Irma. We've talked a little bit about Harvey. We've talked about the wildfires in Montana. We've talked about the fat commie across the ocean who wants to gift us with more destruction and real bombs in the near future, and Iran. And there is a topic that I refuse to not cover.
There is a topic that was brought up to me, and I didn't realize until it was brought up to me, because we've only heard about hurricanes. We've only heard about fires. We've heard about everything else except for this one thing. And that's tomorrow is 9/11.
And I had it at the top of my list. Jason can vouch. We had a caller.
You showed that to me right after that caller, and I could not believe that because I had no idea.
Oh, yeah. In all of my prep this weekend, I kept remembering, golly, Monday is 9/11. How can that be overshadowed with all this? That makes me kind of mad. 9/11 cannot be forgotten, and it will be for a lot of people.
Never forget, except for Irma or whatever. Pick your poison.
But we had a caller, and he was quite disappointed that
He wanted to mention that no one else was mentioning it, and he was kind of saddened that no one was saying anything about it. It's all focused on Irma or Harvey or Montana fires, which are important.
Yeah.
But this is also important as well.
It is. So whoever you are, I hope that I've redeemed my station. Redeemed myself here. I was not going to forget 9/11. That in and of itself, we could talk about that for a whole 2 hours. And it's worth remembering what happened that day. The threat, sadly, is still alive and well. And the threat still lurks. And anything like that can still happen. And we as a nation, golly, I pray we never get struck like that again. We have a president who seems to show the willingness and the stones to stand up to these evil people. But we can never forget 9/11. None of us will forget it, that memory. We all know where we were that day, what happened, where we were, what we saw. And the natural disasters are bad enough. But to have this enemy that's just constantly wanting to take us over, force us into submission, and destroy everything that we love and value and cherish, we can't forget. And I won't, and I'll be talking about it. I'm not going to be on the air tomorrow, but I will be talking about it on social media. And I might bring it up next week as well. But yes, don't forget, tomorrow is 9/11. All these bad things happening on that anniversary is a little chilling, just to be truthful. But Tim from Florida is on the line. Let's get back to him. So, Tim, thank you for joining us. You are in Kissimmee. You are a Marine. And tell me what you've seen. You mentioned that you saw folks are taking care are being urged to take care of not only themselves and their families, but their pets. Are you seeing that happen?
Yes. I've got a lot of Facebook friends who obviously are attracted to the fact that I'm a pet lover. It's pretty obvious if you look at my personal page. And everyone I've seen out there that is of that caliber is taking care of their pet. Now, I had an interesting conversation with one of them. And caring for animals as family is a nurturing in education. You learn that through nurturing, that compassion. It's not something that's just, you know, nature versus nurture.
Yeah.
And some people have an ideology that maybe comes from farm animals. You know, a cat is, say, for instance, a cat.
Yep.
It's a great mouser. But that doesn't mean they're going to be taking it to the vet all the time or things like that.
Yeah.
So there's different levels of nurturing and compassion that's learned by humanity. And unfortunately, when it comes to the cats and dogs, a lot of times I've learned to not like the word pet because it's become synonymous with the word toy.
Mm.
You don't throw away family.
Yeah.
But you do throw away toys.
Yeah. 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 Well, I'm glad you put an emphasis on that. So you saw that the fuel ran out Tuesday.
Right.
When did water start running out? Did that run out?
That I didn't notice because I was well prepared with water myself.
Okay.
Though I can imagine that probably ran out just as quickly as the gas.
Okay. Yep. Interesting. Since you're there, I thought I might bring up, I was going to, and I may have to talk about this on my After Hours podcast. Rush Limbaugh, about a week ago, did a whole couple of segments on the coming hurricane. Maybe it wasn't a couple of weeks ago. It was the 5th. It seems like a long time ago. And in a nutshell, what Rush said was, you know, he lives in Florida and he did evacuate, but he didn't evacuate, you know, on the 5th. On the 5th, he was trying to explain his reservation about the hype concerning Irma, because Irma was out in the ocean and he has seen too much hype in the past. He's seen the storms, you know, start big and media hypes it all up and everybody panics and all the water gets bought out and all the fuel gets bought out. And he was basically saying there's kind of a, you know, something going on here where the panic is overworked and then supplies run out. And he was leery because he feels like the climate change agenda is being used to push all this hype and scare people. You're in Florida. You're kind of a neighbor to Rush. And the left hammered him. Of course, they came out and said, oh, Rush was calling this all a bunch of hype. No, he wasn't. He was giving his experience and his reservations. He wasn't, you know, doing what the left said. But I'm just curious what your thoughts are about all of that. Is the hype overdone, like Rush said, or what do you think?
Well, I think media itself, hype is money when it comes to media.
Exactly. I mean,
yeah, hype is money. Yeah, exactly. High five right there. but if they were hoping to generate additional revenues or things like that, you know, water, buyouts, all this, I think that's not the case because we've had to dip into national reserves for fuel and just shipping it, you know, down to Florida for people to get out. And the damage that's done in this type of a scenario, perhaps because of hype, is not going to balance the books in the favor of having sold all that product because of this type of a scenario.
Mm-hmm.
Did I say that right? Did you understand that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. Well, I was curious your thoughts on that. Anything else? Any other observations that you want to share with the listeners here in Colorado and elsewhere across the nation?
Mostly, I saw people truly coming together. That's not hype. I saw people coming together, neighbors that I may never have talked to because they just moved in, you know, coming, walking down the street and saying, hey, if you need help, we're right across the street. Come and get us. And, you know, and everyone voices that back and forth to each other. And that's nice because it shows that there is a human camaraderie, at least within limits, no matter how bad things get, to help each other out.
Now, what can we do to help you all in Florida as this continues? And obviously tonight you need prayer, that, you know, you stay safe and your loved ones stay safe. What can we do from here as the days unfold?
Well, depending on whatever disaster is unfolded, from the dissolution of the storm as it goes away, is anything with the Red Cross or agencies like that, don't, you know, beware of the third party or even Facebook donation page. You know, just go directly to the ones that you know, cut out the middleman, Red Cross, first aid, whatever it may take.
Okay.
To get supplies or any type of financial or medical help. Now, one thing about Americans is they're very generous. We're one of the most generous nations in the world, so I've read. And they do come together in situations like it, such as you were saying earlier, 9/11. You know, it will never be forgotten. And yet time does dissolve the forefront presence of any historical event. So we don't want to forget these things soon. We don't want to forget history. We don't want to change history. We don't want to erase history because it's all relevant to where we move in the future.
Well, Tim, we're going to have to go to a break, and I am so glad you called in and were patient and waited to the second hour of my show. I'm going to ask you a favor. If you wouldn't mind, if you know of any of those local organizations to whom we can donate that are going to get to Floridians, would you mind sharing those on my Facebook page, and then I will reshare it on my public page?
Absolutely.
I would really appreciate that, and I know my listeners, like you said, we've got generous listeners, and we want to help, and we do want to bypass we want our money to go as efficiently, be used as efficiently, and maximize it to help people in your area.
Fantastic.
Thanks, Tim.
Thanks
so much for joining us.
Show.
Stay safe. We're going to pray for your safety, and keep me posted on Facebook on how things go tonight.
Will do. Thanks a lot for having me on.
Thanks, Tim. Take care. Tim from Florida. We were going to come back and wrap up the live show. We're going to talk to Anil Methai from Adams County, Colorado, and a few other things to wrap up, and we'll be back here on the Michelle Morin Show in just a minute.
These are the things big media won't tell you.
He's trying to undermine the media, trying to make up his own facts so that he can actually control exactly what people think. And that is our job.
Yeah. With Michelle Morin on AM 740 KVOR.
All right, switching gears. We've talked about all the disasters. We've talked about what's going on in our country and how we're getting attacked. We're going to pull into Colorado right now. And we've got some serious stuff going on in Colorado. And as we have every week for the past, I think, month, Anil Methai is joining us. He is the Adams County, Colorado GOP chair. That's a mouthful. He's the GOP chair in Adams County, Colorado. Is that better? Hi, Anil.
Hey, good evening.
How are you doing?
I am well.
Good. We have a little less than 10 minutes, and I want to cover a lot with you before we close out the night. Now, just so I can kind of refresh my listeners, the reason you're joining us is you're kind of spearheading and trying to get the word out about a vote that's coming up on September 23rd, and I'm just going to give you the floor to explain that and remind my listeners why we need to call our GOP county bonus members ASAP, and I'm just going to give it over to you.
Yes, in about 13 days, the State Central Committee will meet for the Colorado GOP, and they will decide a couple of issues. But one of them, in addition to bylaws, is to decide if we're going to opt in or opt out of Prop 108, which allows people outside the party to vote on our candidates. And I'm encouraging people, State Central Committee members, to vote to opt out and allow Republicans to pick their own candidates. The state party did send out an email. I think they're hearing more and more people talk about this. They sent out an email Friday with the former state party chairman, Mr. Dick Wadhams, saying that the party should opt in and mention Bill Owens. And again, he was a very good governor from 1999 to 2007. But the interesting thing about that was that the Republican voters picked him in the primary, not unaffiliated voters, and I think they need to understand that. So they're trying to use these different types of attempts to say that, you know, we need to have those who are not Republicans to pick our candidate. Now, again, this is not to block out anybody unaffiliated. If they take 5 minutes to register and become a Republican, come into the party, look at our principles, and fight for them. But we're in a position where this Prop 108 is actually unconstitutional.
Yes.
A similar proposition came out from the California Democrat Party, who sued against a Republican Secretary of State and a Republican federal judge, and it went to the Supreme Court in 2000. And in a 7-2 decision, Antonin Scalia wrote the majority opinion saying that basically it's ludicrous to have people outside of an association decide what that association can do in its private time. So the Republican Party is moving in a direction that if we don't stop this, they will basically be standing – against for an unconstitutional activity, and further, they will be watering down the platform in reality. So that's kind of the fight. That's what we're trying to fight for.
And I'm going to put my little spin on it. They're throwing us under the bus. They're going to take away if we are not allowed to opt out of Prop 108, they don't vote us out of Prop 108 on September 23rd. The way I see it is it's almost the equivalent of allowing illegals into the country and giving them a ballot.
That's exactly correct.
Yes.
It's utter lunacy, and there are those in the party that support that position because they say, well, if we don't hear from the illegals, then basically we are racist or et cetera. It's that type of understanding or that type of trying to argue that type of position that's making people really look foolish in the long run and in the short run. So this is an important issue. This is a First Amendment issue that has already been decided. And if the Republican Party goes in this direction by not obtaining 75% to opt out, then the Republican Party cannot look at voters and say that they stand for principles. They basically have said they're going to fight for power and ego and money, and that's exactly what's going to happen.
Can't afford that. So what can you and I do? What can my listeners do to affect this vote so that the GOP keeps us voting for our candidates and not, quote-unquote, illegals slash the unaffiliated?
Well, the immediate issue is that you got 12 days to reach out to your state central committee members, and you can get that on the state GOP website or your local county down there in El Paso County or Fremont County, Pueblo, Lincoln. Those counties, you can reach out to them and find out who your bonus members are, your county party officers, and they're the ones that are voting, and also elected officials from the state and federal. They vote and encourage them to opt out. The more steam we get in the next 12 days, then I think we're going to move forward. Again, the state party responded through a former state chairman on Friday. And so this is not something that they try to kill and die down. They are feeling the heat of it. And we need to make sure we contact people and encourage them to vote to opt out.
Okay. Two things. The El Paso County GOP office is at 719-578-0022. That's for my listeners here locally. Anil, you shared a story. This is the second thing. You shared a story on Facebook this week that shows the power of making phone calls and just doing a little bit of involvement that doesn't require much time. Would you please share that with our listeners in the last few minutes here?
Sure. So in Westminster, Colorado, where I live, just north of Denver, I called the county clerk's office. I mean, not the county, the city clerk. A lot of local elections are run by city clerks. Their school boards are run by the administrative clerks of that school district. I called Westminster City Clerk, and I asked a simple question. I said, how do you verify the affidavit, which is a paper that candidates file with their address and information? How do you verify that that's accurate? And the city clerk surprisingly told me they don't verify. They trust the candidate. So I've asked it was just amazing, but I've asked two or three other people to call in with the same question. Well, it seems either that day or the next day, I think there was enough calls that the city clerk went and verified that affidavit against the state registration and found out that one of the candidates did, in fact, lie.
Oh, so, wow.
And that person was kicked out. And that person had an R behind their name.
Ah.
That's the interesting thing. See where we're going here with Prop 108 and other issues is it's not about principles. It's about money and power and ego and foolishness. So that person had an R behind their name. And the person was removed. And again, so there's other issues related to it. But, you know, we're hearing of different towns where there's people on sex offender lists that are running for office.
Oh.
And a lot of the local elections, Michelle, people are not calling and asking them how they verified who these candidates are. And so it's important if you're in Colorado Springs and people are running for city council, find out what the process was. Put some heat on these people because when government grows, they don't care about the people. And the power of one is very important.
Well, and that's what I was just going to say. I want to close with that very point. Listeners, you and I really have more power than we sometimes realize. That is going to be taken away if the state GOP does not opt us out of 108. We lose our voice in caucus. There will be no, whatever we do will be totally upended by the primaries because the unaffiliateds will come in and completely throw it off. Case in point, there is in Colorado Springs a Democrat city councilman who decided to run for Congress, and he doesn't know where his bearings are ideologically. He's gone from Democrat to Republican to Independent to Republican, and he has said, well, the only way to win in this county is to be a Republican, so he changed to Republican. That tells it all. We can't let that happen. Anil, thank you so much for joining us. We will talk to you again next week. I urge you to get involved, stay involved. Our constitutional republic is what's at stake. That is freedom, our individual freedoms, our children's, our grandchildren's. And that's pretty much all I have time for tonight. Have a wonderful week. Have a very prayerful 9/11 tomorrow. Remember what happened, and let's not let this happen again. I have to sign off. I'll be back next week, 9 to 11 p.m. There's a lot more I want to share. I'll be doing an after-hours podcast, and you can tune in to that on the KVOR webpage. I'm signing off. You all have a wonderful week.